What was it like to be a woman working on a farm or a ranch in the 19th and early 20th century in Southern Oregon? That is one of the questions addressed in the Women of the Land, Southern Oregon Women in Agriculture exhibit that is being presented by the Southern Oregon Historical Society and currently on display at the Rogue Valley Mall. Joining us this morning are Amy Drake, the curator, exhibition curator, and Elizabeth Lucum Mahmood. And she is the agricultural coordinator at Hanley Farm. Ladies, welcome to the exchange this morning.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Good to be here.
Well, let me start off. I'll ask you first, Amy, what was the idea for why you decided to do this particular exhibit?
Well, SOHS owns and operates Hanley Farm, and we wanted to showcase the women who have owned and managed Hanley Farm for so many generations. We wanted to talk about women's role in agricultural history, and we also wanted to pull together the connection between women who ran their own farms and the women who were sort of behind the scenes in the farmhouse and emphasize the value of that labor, too.
I guess we tend to think of women in pioneer days in the 19th century as sort of being the housewife or the daughters in the family who were participating in this. But there were women who, for whatever circumstances, ended up being the farm managers and running everything. And that's kind of the story of Hanley Farms, isn't it? Elizabeth, you want to talk about that?
Yeah, it is. Hanley has a special history with that, actually. And after the matriarch Martha moved there with her husband, missing any points here, but she moved there with her husband in the mid-1800s, and they had a whole crop of children, and one of which was Alice, one of their daughters. And when the kids kind of spread out, it was a wealthy family, they had a lot of land, and Alice stayed with the parents on the homestead where Hanley Farm is, the Hanley Mansion. And as the parents ailed, she took care of them, and since she stayed and took care of the family, they left the farm to Alice. And she was probably about my age when she took over that farm. I'm 29. I think she was 27.
Somewhere around there,
yeah. And it's actually just boggling for me to imagine being that woman back then. Like, I couldn't imagine taking on that whole farm.
And Hanley Farms was much bigger back then.
It was, yeah, hundreds of acres. And so she took on that farm after her parents passed and ran it by herself, pretty much. She had, you know, family coming through all the time. But then one of her brothers passed away and orphaned his daughters and a son. And the youngest daughter, Claire, went to live with Alice, and she raised Claire. And once Alice passed, she left the farm to Claire. And Alice, another interesting part of all this is that Alice never married. She never had children. And then she left it to Claire. And Claire then ran the farm, and she invited her two sisters to come live with her, and the three sisters ran the farm, and all three of them never married or had children. And so the last surviving Hanley sister, Mary, donated it to the Historical Society.
And when did the Historical Society, when did it go into your hands?
1982. And then Mary stayed on the farm but passed away in 1986.
Was it a working farm all the way up to that point in time? Because now I understand it's more of a demonstration farm. Is that correct?
It is. You know, as the sisters aged, the agricultural production went down. But they did have still very significant roles in agriculture. They helped start the extension, and they were active, with the gardening clubs and whatnot. And Mary's wish was for the farm to continue as an educational location and also agricultural resource. And they donated the land, actually, for the extension, which is right next to the farm.
As I walked through the exhibition that you have, again, it's on the first floor of the Rogue Valley Mall. I was fascinated by, I always am fascinated by the equipment that people would come up with, what they would build, the innovation to try to make life a little easier. But it was really hard in the 19th century, wasn't it?
They especially when they were homesteading or pioneering, they were new to the area, they were new to the land, there's new weather, there's new soil conditions. I mean, I would say that farming is still really hard today, mm-hmm. but...
Maybe a different set of challenges today.
Probably,
right?
Yeah.
One of the interesting displays there is about laundry day. And then following that, I guess, ironing day. Now, would someone like Alice do that all by herself? Or was she hiring people, both men and women, to come in and help work on the farm?
Do you want to answer that?
Sure. It would depend on the circumstances of the farm. Someone who was a wealthy farm woman would probably be able to hire help to help with the farm chores. The Hanleys usually had a domestic servant. different people through on and off throughout time, but they usually had at least one. But smaller farms, poorer farms, the women would definitely, the farm wife herself would spend all day washing the laundry.
And then ironing the next day.
Yeah.
What was a typical day like? And what was a Hanley farm? What did they primarily do in the early days?
In the early days, actually, Michael Hanley, when they established the farm, he bred mules. And he sold his mules basically to the whole gold extravaganza that was going on, and made good money selling really well-bred mules and became famous for that. He also grew alfalfa. That was maybe one of the – he was credited to bringing alfalfa to Southern Oregon. So,
pears, were they actually a crop back in those days, or was that something that developed later?
They may have been they were a crop in those days, but they really exploded is probably the right word when the railroad came through, because prior to the railroad, it took weeks to get from the Rogue Valley to San Francisco. When you have the railroad coming through, it can take a few days, and then with the advent of refrigerator cars, you can move crops faster from here to larger markets and keep them safe and edible.
For either of you, as we've approached this exhibit that you have, were there some things you learned that surprised you about what life was like back for women in the 19th century, early 20th century?
Just the emphasis on how hard it is to run and own and operate a farm. I mean, again, it's still hard today to run and own and operate a farm, but just the amount of work and toil that goes into it.
Yeah.
Did Alice, did she face some opposition from men back in those days? I mean, what was it like? You know, women worked on farms,
right?
You know, whether they were, you had that division of labor back then, but did she run into any resistance?
Well, I'd say, yeah, inherently it was a strange situation, you know, and it was considered probably, you know, pretty fringe for her to be doing what she was doing and not to be married and not to have children and then to leave it to another, you know, a female. And then for that to happen again, you know, I'm sure that there, I don't know any specific.
I don't either.
Accounts, but, you know, she did, was it Alice or was it Claire who ran for?
It was Alice.
It was Alice. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So she also, what was it? Was it?
State representative,
maybe? Yeah, yeah. So she ran for office and she lost, but even then she was going even further. Not only was she being unconventional in the way she was living her life in that sense, but she was also very active politically and socially and made her stick out even more.
And I believe she ran in 1917 or 1919, so right around Oregon women already had the right to vote, but not nationally.
Yeah.
So
if you have a question about women in Southern Oregon agriculture, especially back in the day, give us a call and join the exchange, 800-838-3760, or send us an email, jx@jeffnet.org. Elizabeth, today you're a demonstration farm, and I know you have tours for school groups, right, and different things.
Mm-hmm.
How does farming at Hanley differ today from in years past when it was a working farm?
Well, part of what we do there is we have a big experimental garden there. We're doing what's called no-till agriculture. And so it's, like I'd like to say, it's echoing kind of the alternative vibe of that place into the current day. And we're experimenting and trying a whole different approach to growing food. And so we have about a 2-acre experimental no-till garden there growing vegetables. And then we also have the bulk of the agricultural land there is pasture for our diverse livestock herd, and all of which we utilize for education and tours and also horticultural therapy. We have a therapy program with the Family Nurturing Center. So,
well, tell me a little bit more about that. How does that work?
Well, last year it started up, and we had groups of families come out to the farm and just kind of spend time growing food and being with the animals and doing all different kinds of things. Now it's kind of split off, and they utilize the farm, so we've actually given them half the garden. And they're still growing, and they come out and work and use our method, which is definitely an alternative method. And it works well, I think, with that group, and it's great. It's working well. It's really, since we've started that project out there, I feel like Hanley has come alive, and a lot has happened since then. So,
And do you have plans for the future? Do you want to, like, expand the number of people who can come in and participate? Do you have the ability to do that?
We do to a certain extent. It's not a gigantic farm, but we do, and I hope to see that. Yes, I do. I hope that the more years that we have in that space, the healthier it seems to be evolving, and that's inherent in the way that we're growing the food out there, which is... it's the no-till method of not tilling the soil, but supporting ecosystem in the soil so that is what grows the food. It's not a economic-based system.
Right.
So it's very different.
As I looked at the pictures online of no-till farming, mm-hmm. and you've also got mm-hmm. some pictures at the exhibit as well, mm-hmm. Correct me if I'm wrong, but you leave the paths between the rows, you mm-hmm. leave them sort of in a natural, is that weeds I see growing?
Yep. And, it's at its basis, it's hard to explain in a very short amount of time. It's very complex, but... what you're trying to do is support as much life and diversity as possible. And when you do that, an ecosystem is developing. And that is providing the nutrients and the food for the plants in as natural a way as possible. Whereas your conventional agriculture, your conventional organic agriculture is all about kind of battling still. Like you're trying to choose what you want to grow and emphasize that and try and eliminate the competition. Whereas it's a whole other kind of approach where you instead support as much diversity of life as possible. And that in itself balances with predator-prey relationships on a very basic level with insects. And if you're having slug problems, well, if you have natural slug predators that are there on their own accord, it balances itself out and you don't have as much pressure. And so you don't always get what you want, but you definitely get a lot. You get plenty.
And you get something interesting.
You do. And it's healthy. It's very healthy because you're not forcing anything to happen. And you have to be very adaptable and flexible. But the food that grows there is as healthy as it can be and very delicious and very relaxing to grow. It's not a stressful battle, in my opinion. So,
Amy, let me ask you, we've focused on the Hanley family. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's some other very interesting women in Southern Oregon agriculture historically. Can you mention one or two of those?
One of my favorite stories is the story of Ostie Barron. She was a cow and sheep rancher over where Immigrant Lake is now. Her family homesteaded out by Immigrant Lake. Her ancestral... grandfather, I believe, was Hugh Barron. When Ostie's father was in his sort of late years, he started getting sick. So Ostie had grown up on the ranch, but Ostie started managing the ranch. And when her father passed away, she inherited the ranch in 1939. And she owned it. She owned it until her mother, right after her mother passed away in 1953. She was married in the 1920s for about a year or two, but they divorced. She took back her maiden name, and she kept on ranching. One of the reasons I like this story is because there was another pioneer family who sort of homesteaded next door, essentially, the Neals. And Joan Neal, who was a generation below Ostie, but was a longtime family friend, came to the ranch, and Ostie helped teach her how to ranch, how to run the ranch. And the two of them sort of worked together, with hired help, of course. But the two of them... Well, Ossie especially, but the two of them owned and managed the ranch.
Pretty interesting story. That was there a fairly representative mix of ranches and farms in Southern Oregon back then?
What do you mean by?
Well, I mean, did it seem like this area was more likely to see farms or ranches? Was there any particular notion?
Well, I mean, just inherent in the land. It's very good climate and good soils for growing, so I'm sure there was...
Yeah,
diverse.
I'm sure there was a mix.
Yeah. I don't know for sure. But, I mean, just look at it now. I mean, it's definitely an agricultural gem. This area is amazing for growing things.
When did we start to see a significant change in technology helping out on farm life? Was that like in the early part of the 20th century with automobiles and tractors and things like that?
I'd say, yeah, as soon as the tractor came on the scene, it totally revolutionized how much work you could get done. I mean, you can only do so much with a team of animals or your own personal physical ability. And so when you start bringing petrol energy into the mix, you can cultivate much larger spaces of land, which I don't personally believe is a good thing, because I think that it's much healthier when you're cultivating smaller areas that are more richly diverse and healthy. But
well, and think about how technology changed like the farm wife's labor too, because again, in the late 1900s and before then, like laundry day would take all day. You're using a washboard,
right.
You're soaking all the laundry by hand, you're washing it by hand, you're ironing it with a sat iron, which you heat on the stove. When it's cold, you have to rotate it off. All of this is very, very labor intensive. And then it progresses, but eventually you get washing machines. We can do laundry in an hour or two now, and it's done. Like, that in and of itself has revolutionized what work can happen and when it can get done.
And women in their roles that they had here, for someone who did not own a farm, but was a farm wife or a daughter or something, what would be a typical work day for them? What were the kinds of things that they would engage in terms of labor?
Again, it would depend on the individual farm, how much money they had, if they could afford hired help. Typical tasks would include laundry, as we've talked about, helping raise the children, cooking food, baking bread.
Tending all the animals, tending the plants, you know, sunrise, sunset. There's plenty to do. I'm sure it was an all-day affair.
Amy, tell us a little bit about the exhibit and what people can expect to see there. We've touched on a few things, but what all does it encompass?
The exhibit's at the Rogue Valley Mall. It's first floor, right near the elevator. There are four main sections to the exhibit. The first is about sort of unconventional women in agriculture, women from pioneer days through today who run or operate their own farms. And we segue into traditional ideas of women on the farm, so being a farm wife, laundry, and we talk about the value of that to the farm's operation, how women's labor, even though it's kind of been viewed as invisible, is essential to how the farm runs. Then we segue into community groups, agriculture-based community groups. Agriculture work can be fairly isolating, so women, and men too, but women would come together to form groups to support each other, to educate each other, to just have fun together. And the end of the exhibit talks about the Hanley Farm and the Hanley women and their influence.
And what is the influence today as we look down the road from those pioneer women and what they did?
Well, for me, it enriches my experience to be out there with that history. And it makes me feel empowered to keep kind of pushing the boundaries and trying new things and experimenting and not being afraid to be a little fringe.
Well, I'd like to thank both of you for being here today. We have Amy Drake, who's the exhibitions curator for the Southern Oregon Historical Society, and Elizabeth Luca Mahmood, you are the agriculture coordinator at Hanley Farms, a fascinating display that's out there again on the first floor of the Rogue Valley Mall. Take an opportunity to go see that. It's there till when?
June 21st. Oh, and it's free.
And it's free. That's another great thing. Can't argue with the price, right? And take a tour through there and enjoy that.